bring a front against the church. Hallelujah. And tonight we are saying no by the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray Acts 4:31 and Acts chapter 4, verses 29, 30, and 31, that this place would be shaken by the glory of God. Hallelujah. Shaken by the volume of prayer coming up. Roma manka basanka harebi shikiria. Yesheka halarobo sinkirinirinidia. Stir us up, Spirit of God. Habarabakabarinidia. Stir up every single person here tonight. Lo malemre meme. Stir you up. I stir you up in the name of Jesus. Oh, stir up the gift of God on the inside of you, praying in other tongues right now. Roma lama manka malamre meme amasanka. Re kabasa kabare kemen kamerinene yamankamala. Re yakaba. Come on, keep going. We're making some good progress right now. Keep going. Raise the volume. Raise the volume. Re me kaba kaba sankamalam reke shikeya. Re yaba kaba haha sukabare kenene miriata. Esumeneya ma ulisha barasa. Pinulumro. Re where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. God has great grace, which is great, great, mighty revival for the church. I'm telling you, where sin abounds, where a shooter steps into a church in Texas and sin abounds and evil abounds, much more does grace abound. God has great grace for the church. Come on, church, stir yourself up tonight. Hallelujah, stir yourself up tonight like the big one is hidden right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Ramankama Sankama. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're doing great. You're doing great. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Rabankama. Just go a little bit further with me. Go a little bit further with us tonight. Yebakaba sankama lambranka haribishenke. Habakaba said the weapon formed against the body of Christ this past week is nothing compared to the glory that God is pouring out. Yeah, but he needs people to get a hold of it and pray it out and preach it out and believe it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, mamanka mankamara mamanka baka sekebriyandriyara. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Kolam ramamankam amranedi. Hallelujah. Raise your hands. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. The glory of God. Hallelujah on you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, that's it. That's the glory of God filling you. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, more, more, more in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. More, more in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, the glory of God fill you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. More, 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 more. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. If you're on the floor, just stay there, feel free, or if you want to get up, that's fine. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost has got a different direction for the service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is not to be outdone. Jesus is not to be outdone in glory. I've been talking about the glory of God and the grace of God. Last week I preached God's glory and your grace. I was going to preach part two tonight, but I think the Lord's having to shift directions just because there's just an assignment taking place. Many of you may already understand that, but there is an assignment taking place right now. You know, you don't always come to church just to be fed. But when we have brothers and sisters in Christ that are getting shot down in churches like what has happened, then God has an assignment on you and on me at times when the Holy Ghost moves to use us to pray things out, to use us to speak the will of God into manifestation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God's plan is not always our plan. I don't know about you, but I've felt more attack coming against the service tonight than I've felt in a long time. Hallelujah. But we don't care. Hallelujah. When the devil punches, we punch back twice as hard and kick him in the shins and spit on him while he's down. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Just as a step of faith, everybody spit right now. Oh, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. You can be glad I just said just kidding, Terry. You'd have a big old mess in the morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Phil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God works through the church. God works to you as the church, and He ministers to you, but He works through you. For God to do a new work in the United States, for God to do a new thing here in Fort Worth, for God to do a new thing in the state of Texas, He's got to work through people and through the church first. What God needs to do in manifestation in the natural, He has got to do by the Spirit of God through the church first. God's got to be able to pray things through you and work His glory into you so that He can work His glory into the unsaved and the lost people. Because I'm telling you that when terrorism takes place against the church, you know that the only reason that is happening is because the devil is scared out of his mind for what he sees taking place in the realm of the spirit. Because he dwells in the realm of the spirit. He has no spiritual power over you. He has no spiritual power over me. But he can see in the realm of the spirit, and he is scared out of his mind at what has taken place. Hallelujah. And you may say, well, look at what, you know, if you saw what I saw, David, you wouldn't be too excited. That's because you're looking at the wrong thing. It's just like when Gehazi and Elisha were surrounded in 2 Kings chapter 6, Gehazi was looking in the realm of the natural, Elisha was looking in the realm of the spirit, and Elisha, what he saw in the spirit, overrode what was taking place in the natural. And if you'll look in the realm of the spirit with me, then you will see that God's glory and the manifestation of revival is here at hand. Hallelujah. God is ready to pour out something greater than we have ever seen. Praise God. I'm telling you, greater than anything anybody has ever seen. That which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man, God has prepared for us. That is something, church, that we cannot pray for except we have the help of the Holy Ghost. That is something that we cannot plan for. We can only be yielded to the Spirit of God and let Him work through us so that He can work His will and work His glory through us so that His power can be manifest. We cannot plan for the glory of God. We cannot strategize big enough for the glory of God. That's impossible. It is so immense. It is so huge what God wants to do. When God's glory is poured out, it makes shootings like what took place pale in comparison. People will forget about that. Now, I'm not making light of the people that have had people, their family members lost by any means, but in the realm of the glory and what is glorified in the United States, God's glory and God's revival is so big that it's going to make all that stuff pale in comparison. People are going to forget about every single thing that the devil ever did. Hallelujah. Somebody praise God with me like you believe that I'm preaching the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has got to get the church to hear and to understand. We don't always come to church just to be fed. You may come to church tonight and God wants to use you. You may have come to church tonight and God wants the intercession. God wants the glory and the joy that's bubbling out of your spirit to be a prayer of intercession, to be a praise of breakthrough for the city of Fort Worth, to be a rejoicing and a breakthrough for the body of Christ here in the United States of America. You don't always come to church just to get fed. You come to church sometimes and the Holy Ghost wants to use you. Hallelujah. Well, little old you. Yep, little old me. He'll use you. He'll use me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God can start with a few, but we got to be sensitive to His glory and hungry for what the Spirit of God is doing and let Him work. I'm telling you right now, I remember years ago when the shooting at Wedgwood, that church in the Baptist church in Wedgwood took place. I was able to actually stand out on our back porch while we were watching it on the news and see the helicopters flying overhead because we lived that close to it. And now we've had other things happen, and now this thing down around San Antonio take place. We have got to understand that the stakes spiritually are far higher than just coming and getting fed in a quick 1 hour, 1.5 hour service and feeling like, just get it over, David. You know, just do this real quick because I got things to do. I'm telling you, God has things to do, and your value as a Christian is so much greater than that. God wants to do so much more through you. You yielding to the Spirit of God here in this service tonight can make a difference in the lives of multitudes of people because God can pour out His Spirit in a way that will change everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's an awesome place to be right there. Well, I can't shut my mouth. I'm just going to speak what I have seen and heard. Hallelujah. That's the place every Christian ought to be at, where you just can't stop something from coming out of your mouth. You know, instead of something, the door getting slammed on your thumb and a bad word comes out, you just bump around somebody at the grocery store and a testimony comes out and prayer comes out. Hallelujah. In verse 21, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For this is talking about the miracle that had just taken place. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went into their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. Hallelujah. And verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, which has made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. So the church has just suffered persecution. They've been in jail, and all through the book of Acts, there was major persecution coming against the church. So I want to ring your bell a little bit tonight if I have to and say, hey, wake up. Major persecution is coming against the church in the United States of America. I know that's not a shouting point, but I want to say that so that we can understand that God is up to something big. The devil doesn't attack where there's no threat, and God is up to something big. But when Jesus was born, they went and killed all the babies. When Moses was born, they went and killed all the babies. When the devil senses something taking place, he comes out with a vengeance and tries to stop and to kill the move of God before it has a chance to take place and to be born and manifest in this world. And he's doing the same thing right now. Hallelujah. He's trying to attack, but I'm telling you, God's glory is much greater. God's plan is infinitely much greater. Hallelujah. Much greater is the gift of grace and the glory of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And verse 24, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, yes, Lord, you are God, which has made the heaven and the earth and all that in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, and they said, any of them that ought things of which he possessed was his own, and they had all things in common. And verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Hallelujah. So I am here to stir you up tonight that we are not, that the book of Acts is not a history book anymore. The book of Acts never has an amen and never had a completion to it. God is still adding to it, and we are living in the book of Acts today. Hallelujah. We have got to stir ourselves up, and no matter what we see in the realm of the natural, no matter what we see taking place, how complacent religion and Christians can be, we have got to stir ourselves up and say, we are going to pray, we are going to seek God, and we are going to press in and see God do something more by the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we have got to just destroy the form of godliness that may be reigning in our minds that stops us from being hungry for the Spirit of God, that makes us think that God's not going to do what he did in the book of Acts, that he's not going to do it today. I'm telling you, if God has to smite an evil leader with worms like he did Herod, then he's going to do that. Praise God. We've got to get stirred up that God can do it today just like he did back then in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, I want you to be so sensitive and hungry for the Spirit of God that you get a hold of it tonight. Hallelujah. And it doesn't take the church to have any more mass shootings before we begin to get stirred up and take the Word of God seriously and begin to give ourselves heart, mind, and soul into the kingdom of God and into the work of God. Stir yourself up tonight. Shake yourself up tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Well, with that shout, I think I just recited a nursery rhyme in this place. Stir yourself up tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah tonight. See, your response is important. I'm going to tell you, this ain't TV. This isn't an online streaming. If you're watching online right now, this ain't TV. You need to be praising God there watching online right now. Hallelujah. This isn't the NFL, praise God. We're not shoving transgender bathrooms down the throat of every state in the union. This ain't the NFL. We're not suffering as bad as they are. Hallelujah. There's a response that's got to take place. I'm telling you, the church responded here in Acts chapter 4. They lifted up their voice. Let me read this again to you. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth. In verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I'm going to tell you right now, where is the power of the church that will pray until a place is shaken by the power of the Spirit of God? You know why that's not happening? Because the church ain't praying like it used to back then. That's why it's not happening. How in the world people can let shootings take place and there's no stirring and there's no hunger, there's no grief that takes place? I mean, I'm not saying, I'm not accusing you of that, because you're here on a Wednesday night listening to an evangelist scream his head off. So you're the good one tonight. It's the other thousands of people that should be here. How in the world you're not here tonight? I don't understand. What has got to take place? I'm telling you, we got to be stirred up by the Spirit of God to where we beat the devil at a place before he can do something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How real does it have to get before it gets real to you? How real does it have to get before it gets real to the church? The devil's worst, most dangerous move is not ISIS. The devil's worst, most dangerous move is not Mormonism, although those are bad things. The devil's worst, most dangerous move is not some false religion. The devil's worst, most dangerous move is passivity and religion in the Spirit-filled church. I'll tell you that right now. That is the most demonic, threatening attack from hell that can take place in the United States today. Because if Satan can get the Spirit-filled church passive to think that we just got to pay our dues and go to church and sit and get fed and leave. I'm so fed up with people saying, I didn't get fed. Hey man, how long have you been born again? Learn to feed yourself and come and bring some supply of the Spirit to the house of God. Hallelujah. Now, I know the churches need to feed people. Man, well, we've been throwing out so much meat, you can drown in all the meat, and we do feed people. It's happening here. I mean, there's a whole bunch of meat getting thrown out here all the time. Yeah, you got to pull your earplugs out. Hallelujah. But at the same time, it's not about just getting fed. God has a call on you. Hallelujah. The church isn't seeing the shaking take place because the church is not praying like it used to. And we've got all kinds of religious reasons why we don't need to pray like we used to pray. Why we don't need to pray like the church used to pray back in the early 1900s. We've got all kinds of stupid religious reasons why the church doesn't need to pray and attend revival meetings and attend church like we did 20 years ago. It's all a lie from hell, I'm going to tell you right now. Hallelujah. It's all just a lie from hell. What is up with people? Now, I'm not griping at you tonight. I'm just saying some of these things have to be said. Because the devil's biggest attack is not ISIS. It's not more. I'll tell you right now. The devil's biggest attack is not a shooter showing up inside the church and killing some people, as bad as that is. The devil's biggest attack is getting the Spirit-filled church lazy and pacified so that we have lost our hunger, so that we have lost our passion to pray, so that we have lost our desire to go to attend the house of God, and so that pastors and evangelists can hardly schedule a revival anymore because people don't want to come out for a revival service because people, the Spirit-filled church, has lost their hunger. And I know that's not you tonight, but I'm trying to shake up the Spirit-filled church. And I've been traveling around, and I mean, every pastor that I've talked to over the years has said that they've had to stop doing Wednesday night or stop doing Sunday night because they can't get people to come out. And the response from the people hardly justifies them paying the light bill. Man, what a reproach on the Spirit-filled church. And I saw something today online about what a pastor's doing and doing up in New York City, and can't even say that abortion is wrong and all these things. I mean, what has taken place with the Spirit-filled church? Can I get a little more candid with you? If you stone me, I can dodge your rock. Okay, so I'm gonna get real candid with you for a few minutes. I'm gonna tell you what I believe has taken place with the Spirit-filled church in the '90s. Revival The power, and Pastor taught me this. Revival comes with absolute 100% responsibility. You do not play with real revival. You do not play. In the Old Testament, they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which would represent revival. I mean, I'll say it that way. And a man just simply tried to steady the Ark because God said, do not touch the Ark. And it was rocking, and a man tried to steady the Ark, and he died just like that. You do not play with revival. And God sent a mighty revival in the 90s. Churches filling up all over the place. Here in Fort Worth, Texas, one of the principal revival centers in the United States was right here in Fort Worth, Texas, in the old building. People touched by the fire of the Holy Ghost, running around the building, the literal visible fire on top of the dome at that old building, so that the fire department was called, and pastors out there having to tell them, no, our building is actually not on natural fire. It's a spiritual fire. You know, that these are things that took place. The glory of God was poured out. And in other places, other cities around the nation. And the Spirit-filled church was full of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, revival in Pensacola, in Rodney Howard Brown's ministry, the revivals all over the United States that took place in the 90s. But I heard Kenneth Hagin give a prophecy, and it came to pass, and others. You can see that around the year 2000, people begin to pull away from revival. They begin to, the Spirit-filled church. It wasn't the Baptists. It wasn't the Methodists. It wasn't all the denominations. It was the Spirit-filled church. And anybody who's been around and can see a few things knows that before the year 2000 or so, the Spirit-filled church, by and large, was the same. Most of the Spirit-filled church had Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And they were hungry for God. They would have revivals. That's right, Pastor. And I know this because I've lived it. Most churches, all various denominations, the Spirit-filled denominations, were hungry for revival, and they would have a service as long as God wanted to move. And I'm not saying they all had 4-hour services or anything like that, but the Spirit-filled church, that's the way it was in the 90s. And now there's been a massive separation that has taken place. And the devil, and what happened is you God sends a mighty revival, and when the church, when some of the church receives it, God grows and blesses them. But when another part of the body of Christ resists and rejects the revival that he sends, then there's judgment that comes. And then what happened at the end of the 90s, churches, and you may not know this because you're not a preacher, you haven't lived this, but I have lived it. I've traveled all over the place, and I can list off denominations and certain church groups, all Spirit-filled, mind you, every single one of them, that have rejected us. They don't want to win souls. They're not hungry for revival. They've no-showed me. And I have had meetings scheduled at pastors' offices all over. And then they've no-showed me at their own office because they realize we're a revival ministry. We had a pastor out in East Texas do that to us recently, already committed to a revival, and he came to one of our services, and after the service, I never heard from him again. Because we're not going to pull punches. You can forget that. Hallelujah. Don't leave me out here hanging by myself. And so around the year 2000, you can see there was a huge change that took place. And things are radically different. The landscape of the Spirit-filled church is not what it used to be right now. It's not what it used to be. The very thing that the Spirit-filled church through the 80s and 90s, when I grew up, that we always said, well, you know, the denominational churches that aren't Spirit-filled, you know, they don't do this, they don't do that, and we're the strong spirit. The very thing that we pointed our finger at all of them and said, that's not good enough because they don't receive the Holy Ghost, they don't honor the Holy Ghost. Now the majority of the Spirit-filled church all over the nation is doing. Hallelujah. You don't play with revival. And look at what has happened in the nation since then. It is not a coincidence, church. I'm telling you, it is not a coincidence, because the life of a nation is entirely dependent on the revival fire in the church that is in that nation. There are no other bones about it. I'm telling you, that is the only factor that determines where a nation goes, is how hot is the fire in the church. And when the church has the fire of God poured out through the 90s, and a large majority of it rejects the revival and doesn't want to have anything to do with it, and restructures and things have changed like they have, look at what has happened to the nation. I mean, the devil has brought every single offense and excuse and reason why that things needed to change in the body of Christ. But it has not worked. Look at the fruit of what has taken place. The word has not changed. But I'm telling you, that movement that separated and people rejected the moving of the Spirit of God, it has not worked, because look at the fruit in the nation. I'm telling you, the things that we have dealt with, transgender bathrooms, Islamic attacks and shootings in churches and everything, and all the craziness, you know, having the White House bathed in the LGBT colors and things that are going on. Look at what has happened as a result of that. I'm telling you, God was pouring out His glory in the 90s. Steve Hill, the evangelist, was invited by cities to do a crusade and do an altar call by the mayor at a big citywide events. And they were, I mean, God was pouring out things and doing awesome glory in the church back then. But I'm telling you that the devil's biggest weapon is that the Spirit-filled church gets satisfied and stops being hungry for what God has for us. I'm telling you, praise God for every Christian. I'm not telling you we need to be upset with anybody. That's not what I'm preaching. I'm talking to you tonight and anybody that'll ever hear this message, that you got to stir yourself up. These are the days of the book of Acts. We cannot afford to say, well, I think church needs to be this way. Church has to be 1 hour and 45 minutes. If it goes 1 minute over that at 1 hour and 46 minutes, I'm out the door, because I think that's the way church needs to be. Well, I think revival's got to happen this way. And if revival doesn't happen the way that I think it's going to happen, then I ain't going to attend and I'm not going to show up. I'm telling you, we have got to get over that kind of mindset. Where is the hunger in the body of Christ? Where is the hunger in the Spirit-filled church? Hallelujah. Why is it that the devil gets more headlines the past week than the body of Christ does because of what has taken place? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to stir ourselves up. I'm telling you, God, the Holy Ghost, has a much greater stirring than the devil does. I'm telling you, a bad thing happened in that church. That ought to stir the church up, but that is not any big deal compared to what the Holy Ghost wants to do when you let Him get a hold of your spirit and let Him get a hold of your life and let the fire of the Spirit of God get stirred up on the inside of you. I'm telling you, He'll stir you up. Do you want to even know which wheel exploded in the 10 different directions all at the same time with the Spirit of God? Hallelujah. If you don't know what that looks like, that's what I'm trying to do right now. I don't even know what to do. Hallelujah. We got to stir ourselves up. We got to get hungry. This is for real, church. This is for real. And our power does not lie in our ability to please everybody and make them happy. Our power lies in the glory and the fire of the Spirit of God. And in the fires of revival. And when that is burning bright, all the people that we thought we had to please to make happy, we will have the power of the Spirit of God to change their life. We will have the backbone to preach to them that the wages of sin is death, because if they don't let go of their sin, if they don't repent of their sin, they can't get saved. So trying to appease people and tell them it's okay and act like it's okay for them to sleep in any bed they want to is not the love of God. I'm telling you, when we have the fire of the Spirit of God burning in us, we will not back down. Why? Because it's not a sin issue, but sin does have to be repented of. You got to repent. The wages of sin is still death. We got to get those things right. And the church has got to have the backbone to stand up and preach the gospel so that people can get set free from sin. I'm telling you, if we're trying to please everybody by saying every kind of sin is okay, like this pastor in New York City that said abortion is actually not really a sin. He wouldn't admit on the show that it was a sin. Another stinking interview where they take a preacher on a television show, a national secular television show, and ask him pointed questions, and they give him the wrong answer. I'm like, why do they ask these guys, where do they get these jokers from? Hallelujah. Couldn't give the right answer. You know what? I don't get excited about telling somebody about sin, but if you can study through the book of Romans and through the book of Hebrews that leads people to righteousness, because you realize I need God. Hallelujah. It's not a sin issue, it's a Jesus issue. But trying to make everybody happy and act like sin doesn't exist, that is the worst thing that we can do. Because if you do that, then people don't need Jesus. They don't need the cornerstone anymore because everything's okay. And we'll just pad them and make them all nice and happy while they're on their way to hell. Hallelujah. The church has got to have the fire. Hallelujah. The church has got to have the fire and the zeal and the hunger for revival. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody say amen tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to let the Holy Ghost do His work. We got to let the Spirit of God do its work, do His work, do His work in our hearts. Hallelujah. Be hungry. Let Him stir. Let Him work. Let Him do what He needs to do. Hallelujah. And get the church back to that place. I'm telling you, I see the Spirit-filled church all over this nation raging with the fires of revival, full of the power of the Spirit of God, not seeing how short and how much we can trim everything, how much we can trim the message, and how much we can pull back on what is sin and what is the blood of Jesus, but how hard can we preach it? How hard can we tell people about Jesus? How hard can we get the gospel out? What is the next way? What's the next method on how we can get the gospel out? How we can shake people in Lancaster, how we can shake people on television, how we can shake all the high schools in DFW. What is the next thing we can do? I'm telling you, that's what God wants to do. How hard can we preach the gospel? How long can we go and see how many people get saved and touched by the Spirit of God? Hallelujah. I'm a little jealous with a godly jealousy when I hear stories of revivals in days gone by when they would go night after night for 6 months. And people say, I can't even imagine, that'd be terrible. I understand what a hard schedule is. I'm not saying we just need to lock into it, a hard schedule, and kill everybody. But when revival fire is taking place, you want to be there. It's the joy and the desire and the fire of your heart. And it's something that you want to go and see. Hallelujah. It's something that you can't get away from. That's what real revival is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So just break that mindset. I'm a little jealous of what God's done in days gone by. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You, Father, for that spirit of prayer. Hallelujah. I thank You, Lord, that power tower is filled up. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. Thank You, Jesus, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for working in our hearts tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, I sense God working in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, I sense God doing something awesome and mighty in this place. Hallelujah. I'll get to that message next time. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost willing. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank You for working in the hearts and lives of everybody. I thank You, Lord, for every church. In Jesus' name, work. Work, Spirit of God, and work here. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, just give me a few more minutes. Amen. Hallelujah. Tony, I'll get you the mic here. Or you got one? I think we need to do it again before we release tonight. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Before you're dismissed, before you take off, let me just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to receive the offering for Harvest Ministries. Hallelujah.